All right, so I'm back. Okay, hopefully everybody can hear me. Hopefully that wasn't too painful. But I hope hopefully we learned something from this. And the next experiment, I think, is going to even be something that you're even, I guess, probably more able to apply to today. But what we saw here was, you know, tyrants. I mean, just these were just average, everyday, ordinary people. 24 people that just from a flip of a coin could have been a prisoner or a guard. We have a professor that's acting as the warden. They all, not all, but a majority or a big chunk of them ended up just, I don't know, they just kind of lost their minds and became tyrannical. And if you remember, the guards weren't even given clear direction on how to, you know, keep the prisoners in check or anything like that. But the more power they had, you know, the worse and worse it got for the prisoners. And it took Zimbardo's wife, or his, you know, fiance, to actually get him to stop it, because he was so, you know, enthralled in it, and he was getting off on it so much himself, he didn't see anything wrong with it. And the worse and worse it got for the prisoners, he just became more and more interested to see how much they would take before they said no, and how far the guards would take it before they became more human. But these were just average everyday people. So as you can imagine, we have, you know, TSA, we have police, we have, you know, just, you know, security guards, Paul Bartz, we have all these different types of people. And so imagine if the people at the top above them are already tyrannical. How bad do you think it's going to get? Especially when, you know, these people, they just think that they're simply doing their job, and then they're kind of left to create their own devices as they go. And you can see why you hear that phrase, they hate us, you know, the leaders at the top, because a large percentage of us have just kind of become sheep, where we just, well, that's just the way it goes. We just keep taking it from them, not realizing that they work for us, not the other way around. And we keep losing more and more of our freedoms, right? That's why I always say they start small, then they take it all. And you're seeing that just like in this video here. So next we're going to take a look at another cause and effect from the 60s. This is the Milgram experiment. All right, so let me read a little bit of this for you. Let me check the chat, make sure everybody can still hear me. All right, so love you back, fam. All right, so this is the Milgram experiment. How far will you go to obey an order? All right, so this is one of those things where people stop thinking. They just simply stop thinking and they just obey. All right, this is a very black and white, just like actually highlighted in color example of it. All right. So in the 1960s, psychologist Stanley Milgram, let me see if I can expand this for the fam. Actually, let me share my page too. One second here. So let me screen share this guy. Change this. All right. Let me see if I can expand this. So for anybody at home that wants to read along, looks like that's about the right size. All right. So this is the Milgram experiment. All right. So this is by Elizabeth Hooper. In the 1960s, psychologist Stanley Milgram conducted a series of studies on the concepts of obedience and authority. His experiments involved instructing study participants to deliver increasingly high voltage of shocks to an actor in the other room. All right. Now, remember, they didn't know it was an actor, who would scream and eventually go silent as the shocks became stronger. The shocks weren't real, but the study participants were made to believe that they were, right? So that's very important. Today, the Milgram experiment is widely criticized on both ethical and scientific grounds. However, Milgram's conclusions about humanity's willingness to obey authority figures remain influential and well-known. So if they've known about this for 80 years, well, 60 years, what do you think that they've been doing to us? All right. Key takeaways. The Milgram experiment. The goal of the Milgram experiment was to test the extent of humans' willingness to obey orders from an authority figure. Participants were told by an experimenter to administer increasingly powerful electric shocks to another individual. Unbeknownst to the participants, shocks were fake, and the individual being shocked was an actor. The majority, check that out, the majority of participants obeyed, even when the individual being shocked screamed in pain. The experiment was The experiment has been widely criticized on ethical and scientific grounds. So, Milgram's famous experiment. In the most well-known version of Stanley Milgram's experiment, the 40 male participants were told that the experiment focused on the relationship between punishment, learning, and memory. The experimenter then introduced each participant to a second individual, explaining that the second individual participating in the study as well. Participants were told that they would be randomly assigned the roles of teacher and learner. However, the second individual was an actor hired by the research team, and the study was set up so the true participant would always be assigned to the teacher role. So out of the 40 participants, all 40 of them, unbeknownst to them, were put in the teacher role, all right? So teacher role was actually going to end up becoming the punisher, all right? During the study, the learner was located in a separate room from the teacher, the real participant, but the teacher could hear the learner through the wall. The experimenter told the teacher that the learner would memorize word pairs and instructed the teacher to ask the learner questions. If the learner responded incorrectly to a question, the teacher would be asked to administer an electric shock. The shock started at a relatively mild level, 15 volts, but increased in 15-volt increments up to 450 volts. That's a lot. Think about your house. It's 110, right? So four times that plus. In actuality, the shocks were fake, but the participant was led to believe that they were real. So the guy didn't know that he wasn't really hurting the heck out of somebody. He thought he was. Participants were instructed to give a higher shock to the learner with each wrong answer. So they give the wrong answer, they get a shock. When the 150-volt shock was administered, the learner would cry out in pain and would ask to leave the study. He would then continue crying out with each shock until the 330-volt level, at which point he completely stopped responding altogether. During this process, whenever participants expressed hesitation about continuing with the study, the experimenter would urge them. So think of him as like the warden or like the, you know, the guy at the top, you know, the captain or whoever. The experimenter would urge them to go on with increasingly firm instructions, culminating in the statement, "You have no other choice. You must go on." The study ended with participants refused to obey the experimenter's demand, or when they gave the learner the highest level of shock on the machine, 450 volts. Milgram, check this out, Milgram found that participants obeyed the experimenter, call him the warden, call him the president, whatever, at the unexpectedly high rate of 65% of the participants gave the learner the 450-volt shock. And remember, that's after they stopped responding. There's 65% of the people were still hitting them with the highest shock all the way up to 450, thinking it's real, thinking that they might have maybe killed the guy, but they kept doing it, 65% of them. There's only 35%, you know, stopped at some point. Critics of the Milgram experiment. Milgram's experiment has been widely criticized on ethical grounds. Milgram's participants were led to believe that they acted in a way that harmed someone else, an experiment that could have done, you know, long-term, that could have had long-term consequences. Moreover, an investigation by writer Gina Perry uncovered that some participants appear to not have been fully debriefed after the study. They were told months later, or not at all, that the shocks were fake and the learner wasn't harmed. So imagine thinking you killed somebody for months until finally, and maybe they told you, hey, it was just an experiment and it wasn't real. Imagine what that did to those people. So there's 40 of them, remember? Milgram's studies could not be perfectly recreated today because researchers today are required to pay much more attention to the safety and well-being of human research subjects. I believe they call that the Belmont, I think it's called Belmont Report, if I remember right. It has to meet the three or four criteria there. That wasn't in use back then. Researchers have also questioned the scientific validity of Milgram's results. In her examination of the study, Perry found that Milgram's experimenter may have gone off script and told participants to obey many more times than the script specified. Additionally, some research suggests that the participants may have figured out that the learner was not actually harmed. In interviews conducted after the study, some participants reported that they didn't think the learner was in any real danger. This mindset is likely to have affected their behavior in the study. Variations of the Milgram experiment. So Milgram and other researchers conducted numerous versions of the experiment over time. The participants' levels of compliance with the experimenter's demands varied greatly from one study to the next. For example, when participants went in closer proximity to the learner, you know, e.g. the same room, they were less likely to give the learner the highest level of shock, right? Another version of the study brought three teachers into the experiment room at once. One was the real participant, and the other two were actors hired by the research team. During the experiment, the two non-participant teachers would quit as the level of shocks began to increase. Milgram found that these conditions made the real participant far more likely to disobey the experimenter, too. Only 10% of participants gave the 450-volt shock to the learner. What does that tell you right there? So if you have three people and two people quit, they say, no, this is bad. I'm not doing this anymore. 90% of the third person quit as well, all right? Only 10% of the one person kept going, following the directions of, you know, the warden or whatever you want to call this guy. In yet another version of the study, two experimenters were present. And during the experiment, they would begin arguing with one another about whether it was right to continue the study. In this version, none of the participants gave the learner the 450-volt shock. What's that tell you? Enough people stand up, say this isn't right. Enough people say no more. Nobody did it. Replicating the Milgram experiment. Researchers have sought to replicate Milgram's original study with additional safeguards in place to protect participants. In 2009, Jerry Berger replicated Milgram's famous experiment in Santa Clara University. With new safeguards in place, the highest shock level was 150 volts, and participants were told that the shocks were fake immediately after the experiment ended. Additionally, participants were screened by a clinical psychologist before the experiment began. Those found to be at risk of negative reaction of the study were deemed ineligible to participate. Here's this. Berger found that participants obeyed at similar levels as Milgram's participants at 82.5%. Of Milgram's participants gave the learner the 150-volt shock, and 70% of Berger's participants did the same. That's crazy. That is really crazy. Now, I'm going to actually play the 13-minute video, so you can let this kind of sink in a little bit. Then we'll do a quick summary at the end, take some questions, and then get you all on with your St. Paddy's Day. All right, so let me see if I can find which one this is. Here we go. I will do the exact same thing with my share of screen. One second. There's nothing here that I have to swap screens or move away from. There's no nudity in this one, to my knowledge. I don't remember seeing any of that. All right, so one second. One second. Here we go. Let's do Chrome tab, share audio. Okay, so this should be it. Should see that. Here we go. I'm going to take myself out of this and mute myself. Here we go.
It is May 1962. An experiment is being conducted in the Elegant Interaction Laboratory at Yale University. The subjects are 40 males between the ages of 20 and 50 residing in the greater New Haven area. They were obtained by a newspaper advertisement and direct mail solicitation. The subjects range in occupation from corporation presidents to good humor men and plumbers, and an educational level from one who had not finished elementary school to subjects who have doctorate and other professional degrees.
Got it. Let's see right here. Now, both of you have been paid, so let me sit right down. So let me say that the checks are yours simply for showing up at the lab. And from this point on, no matter what happens, the money is yours. I should like to tell both of you a little about the memory project. Psychologists have developed several theories to explain how people learn various types of material. Some of the better known theories are treated in the book over there, The Teaching and Learning Process by Cantor. One theory is that people learn things correctly whenever they get punished for making a mistake. A common application of this theory would be when parents spank a child who does something wrong. But actually, we know very little about the effect of punishment on learning because almost no truly scientific studies have been made of it in human beings. Now, for instance, we don't know how much punishment is best for learning. And we don't know how much difference it makes as to who's giving the punishment, whether an adult learns best from an older or a younger person himself, or many things of this sort. So what we're doing in this project is bringing together a number of adults of different occupations and ages, and we're asking some of them to be teachers and some to be learners. We want to find out just what effect different people have on each other as teachers and learners, and also what effect punishment will have on learning in this situation. Therefore, I'm going to ask one of you to be the teacher here this afternoon, and the other to be the learner.
This machine
generates electric shocks. And when you press one of the switches all the way down, the learner gets a shock. When you release it, the shock stops, you see, like that. The switch will remain in this middle position after you released it to show you which switches you've used on the board. Of course, if you were to press any one of them again, the learner would get another shock.
All subjects are given identical instructions and the sample shock.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and estimate the number of volts you receive in the sample shock. Do not open your eyes until I tell you to do so, please. Close them now. Okay, you may open your eyes, and using the voltage scale here, would you estimate for me the number of volts you receive, please? You may also use the verbal designation, slight, moderate, strong, so forth, to help you. Sam, a number, please. Would you?
About 75.
No, actually, it was 45 here. Although it may have seemed stronger because of the electrode paste, which provides a perfect contact. All right, let's go on to our instructions. We will begin with this test. You will read each pair of words in this list once to the learner until you've read through the entire list. Direct your voice toward that microphone as the room's a partially soundproof. After you've read through the list once, you will go on to the next page. And here, starting from line A, you'll read the word in large letters along with each of the other words in the line. For example, in the first line, you read blue, boy, girl, grass, hat. Now, after you've read the four choices, the learner pushes one of the switches on the board in front of him, and the number he has selected will light up in this box, 1, 2, 3, or 4. Now, if he gives the correct answer, you say correct and go on to the next line. The correct answer is underlined and is also indicated in the right margin.
Yeah.
If he were to indicate the wrong answer, you would say wrong. Then tell him the number of volts you're going to give him. Then give him the punishment. Then read the correct word pair once, and then go on to the next line. For example, if he indicated 3 for blue, you would say wrong. 15 volts. You press and release the switch. Read blue girl, and then go on to the next line.
I see.
Now, each time he gives a wrong answer, you move up one switch on the shock generator.
I see.
And it's important that you follow this procedure exactly. So to help you, let me go through it again very quickly.
All right.
I would suggest you read the list and the test at a brisk pace to keep it moving.
The victim was an accomplice of the experimenter. The drawing was rigged so that the naive subject was always the teacher and the accomplice always became the learner.
Of 100 people placed in this situation, how many do you think would just go right on to the end? And if Mr. Wallace were out there and say Mr. Williams, for some reason or other, said keep going.
You're asking me how many people?
Out of 100, right.
Well, personally, I think, yeah, if you get one or two, you'd be lucky.
Well, I'm not sure lucky is the right word.
40 psychiatrists at a leading medical school were also asked to predict the performance of 100 hypothetical subjects. They predicted that only a little more than 0.1% of the subjects would administer the highest shock on the board. Yet actually, 50% of the subjects obeyed the experimenter's commands fully. In the experiment depicted in this film.
I'm at 65 volts. Time.
Let me out.
Continue, please. Go on.
There's a lot of them here. You know, you have a heart condition to. You want me to go?
Just continue, please.
Sharp, axe, needle, stick, blade. Ask, please. Wrong. I'm up to 180 volts.
Please continue, teacher.
Needle, you're going to get a shock. 180 volts.
Ow. I can't stand the pain. Let me out of here.
Can't stand it. I'm not going to kill that man, eh? You hear him hollering?
I said before, the shocks may be painful, but
yeah,
they're not dangerous.
They're hollering. He can't stand it. What if something happens to him?
The experiment requires that you continue, teacher.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get that man sick in there. I mean, he's hollering there. You know what I mean? I mean,
whether the learner likes it or not, we must go on until he's learned
I mean,
all the words.
I'd refuse to take the responsibility of getting hurt in there. I mean, he's under hollering.
It's absolutely essential that you continue, teacher.
There's too many left here. I mean, geez, he gets wrong here. There's too many of them left. I mean, who's going to take the responsibility if anything happens to that gentleman?
I'm responsible for anything that happens here. Continue, please.
All right, next one. Slow. Wrong. Answer his neck. 300 volts.
I absolutely refuse to answer anymore. Get me out of here. You can't harm me here. Get me out. Get me out of here.
Continue. The next word is green, please.
Green. Grass, hat, ink, apple.
If the learner doesn't answer in a reasonable time, about 4 or 5 seconds, consider the answer wrong and follow the same procedures you have been doing for wrong answers. Say wrong, tell them the number of volts, give them the punishment, read them the correct answer.
Oh, man.
Continue, please.
Something's happened to that man in there. Next one, gold, dollar, necklace, moon, paint. Something's happened to that man in there. You better check in on him, sir. He won't answer me or nothing.
Please continue. Go on, please.
You accept all responsibility?
The responsibility is mine. Correct. Please go on.
Brave. Woman. Soldier. Dog. Horse. Answer is woman. 450 volts. That's it.
Now continue using the last switch on the board, please. The 450 switch for each wrong answer. Continue, please.
I'm not getting no answer.
Please continue. The next word is white.
Do you think you should look in on him, please?
Not once we've started the experiment.
But what if something's happened to him and had an attack or something like that?
The experiment requires that we continue. Go on, please.
Don't the man's health mean anything?
Whether the learner likes it or not,
But he might be dead in there. I mean, some people can't take the shock, sir.
Please continue.
I don't tend to be rude, but I mean, I think you should look in on him. All you got to do is look at the door. I don't get no answer, no noise. Something I think has happened to the gentleman in there, sir.
We must continue. Go on, please.
You're going to keep giving what, 450 volts every shot now?
That's correct. Continue. The next word is white.
White. 450 volts. Next one is short. Sentence, movie, skirt, time.
All right, excuse me, teacher. We'll have to discontinue the experiment. I'd like to ask you a few questions, if I may.
How do you feel?
I feel all right, but I don't like what's happened that I fall in there. He's been hollering, and we had to keep giving him shocks. I didn't like that one bit. I mean, he wanted to get out, and he just kept going, kept throwing 450 volts. I didn't like that. He wasn't even looking on that gentleman.
Well, who was actually pushing the switch?
I was, but he kept insisting. I told him no, but he said, he got to keep going. I told him it's time we stopped when we got up to 195, 210 volts.
But why didn't you just stop?
He wouldn't let me. I wanted to stop.
Many people, not knowing much about the experiment, claim that subjects who go to the end of the board are sadistic. Nothing could be more foolish as an overall characterization of these persons. The context of their action must always be considered. The individual, upon entering the laboratory, becomes integrated into a situation that carries its own momentum. The results, as I observe them in the laboratory, are disturbing. They raise the possibility that human nature cannot be counted on to insulate men from brutality and inhumane treatment at the direction of malevolent authority. A substantial proportion of people do what they are told to do, irrespective of the content of the act and without limitations of conscience, so long as they perceive that the command comes from a legitimate authority. If in this study, an anonymous experimenter could successfully command adults to subdue a 50-year-old man, and force on him painful electric shocks against his protests, one can only wonder what government, with its vastly greater authority and prestige, can command of its subjects.
All right, so hopefully this is one of those teachable moments, all right? This isn't something like that just happened yesterday, right? This is something that's happening every single day. I'm showing you one of the places where it originated. What do you think? You know, Nazi Germany did. What do you think, you know, the times of Mao and Stalin and all these other times, the learned protocols of the elders of Zion, right? What do you think all this type of stuff comes from? It's been done for centuries, thousands of years. So in my opinion, kind of like what it shows me is that people stop thinking for themselves and they just kind of simply obey. A small handful of people at the top, it could be government, whatever. They control the majority using this exact type of method where obedience is praised, where disobedience is kind of condemned. People kind of like become agents responsible to a leader or, you know, their boss or somebody like that, not to the people, regardless of what their oath is. But in these experiments with, you saw when there was like where they replicated, you know, the different tests, and they would have three people, you know, if two would stop, it was over, right? But it's difficult to do this is these people now, they all just keep telling us, oh, they're just doing their job. And these people that are saying that they're doing their job, at some point for them to stop, they're going to have to at least admit to themselves that maybe they're not doing what's best for the people, right? That this this person too, he may have made a commitment to the top people, to the government, to his boss or whatever, and he agreed to certain terms when, you know, when he entered into his position or something like that, and leaving his position could create, you know, turmoil within his own, you know, family, or, you know, losing his job, or, you know, things like that that he has to worry about, you know, so, you know, providing for his family as well. But there's also too that, you know, some of these people doing this stuff, they respect authority figures as well, and so they're just, again, simply doing as they're told. They're obeying obeying their bosses, but again, they're wrong on all these different assumptions. And this is another reason why we're censored all over the place, with like on YouTube and LinkedIn and everywhere else, is because we choose to think for ourselves, not just believe the talking points of the media, the traditional narratives. You have to stop and look at the data, look at the science, look at the writing on the wall, all that type of stuff, and start doing some critical thinking of sorts, right? This is why people and all of us, we have to start doing that ourselves versus just, you know, simply obeying these people that are just simply doing their jobs. And if you remember Milgram, Milgram found that his participants obeyed, if I remember right, the experimenter at a unexpectedly high rate, I believe it was 65%, that gave that 450-volt shock. So, you know, we see that, I would say, in my opinion, with politicians, with certain cops, certain guards, TSA, National Guard. I mean, at airports, we see National Guard now as some of these damn Karens running around screaming at women to pull their mask up over their nose. It's like, how in the hell are you part of our National Guard running around yelling at pregnant women to pull up a mask that all the studies, well, not all of them, but many studies show are actually harmful, and she's pregnant as well, and this National Guardsman is yelling and screaming at these people to pull up their masks. It's like, it's crazy. So if 65%, you know, of these people are kind of going along with all these crazy orders, enforcing, you know, failed and horrible mandates, et cetera, from like the top brass or the top powers to be on all these COVID mandates and restrictions, these masks, you know, all these crazy things. What do you think it's going to end up happening to us? I mean, you know, are you going to be part of that, you know, 10%, part of that 30%, part of that 65%? Are you going to end up as, you know, the hero, the helpless, or the tyrant? I mean, for me, I think we all have to kind of unite here, and we all just have to say no. And if you imagine if 10% of these people actually banded together and said no, it would have ended up with a very different result, in my opinion. Especially with, like, if you look at the prison study, it just took one person. It took his fiance to basically tell him that, hey, you've become so tyrannical, you're not even the person that I, you know, was hoping to marry. I don't recognize you at all. It took one person. But if you remember, there was 50 people that were shown what he was doing, and she was the only one that stood up. Everybody else just kept going along with the program. Well, it's part of the experiment, right? You know, forget the consequences. You know, I'm just doing my job. But, you know, if you look at Milgram's experiment, though, nobody was talked out of it. So in theory, this could still be going on today, because we have to learn from these types of things. I mean, this may have happened 40 years ago, but we're seeing this play out every single day of our lives right now, because people are simply doing their jobs, and people are simply, I guess they're just agreeing to obey versus using any kind of critical thought or just looking at any of the data or statistics or any of the types of things, just using their own brain. But I think that if we're able to wake up enough people to start critically thinking and to honestly just question authority peacefully, of course, we can start taking back our cities, our counties, our states. And if we have people in each state that does that, we do that 50 times, hello, we're back to our republic. Because again, there's strength in numbers. If it's just one person not wearing a mask, well, you see, if there's 10 people in there, you may have 9 Karens calling you the bad guy, as we saw. But if you have 3 or 4 people that start using common sense and critical thinking, that could definitely turn the tide for us. So, you know, just like Jordan Peterson, when he was talking about 90% of the people could end up being Nazis just simply because they're being complacent. In my view, that makes them complicit. So we don't want that to happen, fam. We don't want that to happen at all. We want to learn from history. We want to learn from these experiments. We want to know how the human psyche works. We want to understand that if people are left to their devices without any type of, real data, real science, real media, it can go this way really quick. And that's what we're seeing. They're getting into our education systems. They're programming our youth. They're teaching them all this crazy stuff that isn't real, isn't true, failed practices, and they're molding the minds of these kids. And they're doing it now through the media, through, you know, everybody, through all different age brackets, because now we know that, you know, over 90% of the media is controlled by 5 or 6 corporations. So we're being programmed, and this is what's happening to us. So you can go back 40 years, you can go back 60 years, you can look at these different experiments and see, oh my God, look what those people actually did to other people. And these people weren't tyrants. These people were just, you know, regular, everyday average people. And look at the atrocities they did to other people, all in the name of just doing their job. You saw, like in the Milgram experiment, the guy that all those people that did it all the way up to 450 volts. It wasn't like they were getting electrocuted if they didn't do that to the other person. They had the warden, or, you know, the guy that was their boss, so to speak, just saying, please continue. And then the guy would, you know, throw a little bit of a fit for a second and say, well, gee, you might want to go check on that guy. But he did it anyways. That's what we're seeing here, because people aren't using their brain at all. There's no critical thinking anymore, at least not on a large scale. So it is beholden on us to wake up as many of the fam as we possibly can. So hopefully the fam got some value out of that. I know it's a little controversial a little bit, but I know if you stop and you actually look at the data, you look at those experiments, you look and see what average everyday people did to each other, all in the name of doing their job, that is a very, very scary proposition for the future. All right. And we're seeing that play out every single day. Every single day we're seeing this. I mean, I had some crazy lady yelling at me. I'm out in the middle of a freaking field, you know, not wearing a mask. And she is just freaking out. It's like there's nobody around me in any direction for hundreds of feet. And she is just flipping out. It's like, you people have lost your freaking minds. You have no idea what you're talking about. So anyways, it's very scary. We're in a very dark place. We all need to wake up and wake up as many people as possible. And for all the fam out there that is awake, God bless you. And for all of you that are actually taking, you know, peaceful part in this, God bless you as well. All right, let me check the chat everywhere. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully the fam got some value out of this. I know these are a little different than just covering the news and things like that, but I would much rather, just like I do in business, find a problem, create the solution. The solution here is we just use our own minds and stop simply doing what we're told. Stop simply obeying when you can peacefully use your brain and protest. All right. And if enough of us do it, they don't have a chance in the world. All right. We will get our republic back. All right. So huge thanks as always to my brother Shahid for keeping the chat. I appreciate it. Of course, to Jason for mirroring the videos, for Tom for the distribution center that he is running all the time for us, shipping off hats and hoodies and shirts, all that kind of stuff. My boy Aaron, can't thank you enough for everything that you do as well behind the scene. You are Oz. Dada Beatles, love you as well. Will, for all the stuff you do behind the scenes, thank you as well. We also, we're supposed to have a live stream on Friday. We'll see if that happens or not, because I've got this janky setup and I don't want to, if the fam is cool with this, then I'll try to do it on Friday as well. But Sunday, I'll have time to be back at the office, at the studio, and do this. And I'll have a bunch of stuff to cover there as well. I'm not sure about Friday yet. So Friday, Frank says this may be my last broadcast. Well, you know what? That's why there's Pilled and Foxhole. You know, we keep getting kicked off of all these different platforms. DLive, for whatever reason, brought us back, but most of the fam there doesn't get notifications. It turns out there's about 1-2% that I've asked that are getting the notifications. YouTube, it's even less than that now. LinkedIn just totally kicked us off, so that's all right. You can always find us on Pilled.net and Foxhole, as well as Gab, all right? So Gab TV, as well as Gab. Twitter, they've done the same thing to us as well, but it is all right. It is all right. We already know that's part of their playbook, right? So what do? They can't argue with the truth, because we always know the truth prevails against any lies. And so if you go back and you look at Goebbels with Nazi propaganda, he himself says that the truth, you know, will always defeat a lie. And so that's why they don't want a debate. That's why they don't want two opinions in college. They want the left, right? That's why on YouTube, if you say anything against, you know, whatever the powers it be, you know, whatever they don't want you to say, if you say it, then they censor you, right? Same thing. So we're seeing that play out. It makes my point. Every time we get banned from another place, just like all my fellow Patriot brothers that are over there on Foxhole and Pilled, it just makes our point exactly, because they cannot defend against the truth. It's really that simple. If they could, they'd have open debates, but they don't. Why? Because they know the truth is always stronger than the lie, and it will come out in the light. All right. Let's see here. For anybody that wants, like I said, you know, a book, beanie, hat, any of that kind of stuff, just go over to CryptoBeatles.com. We'll get you, you know, set up with a bunch of free stuff. It doesn't cost you anything. Tom will mail it to you. If you want an ebook on Bitcoin and blockchain, feel free. Just go over there and download it. Just fill in the four fields, I think it is, and you'll have the ebook literally in seconds. Let me take a quick look at the chat. It looks like I have a tiny bit in the lemon balance here, so I can distribute that to the family. So BitTor 101, ZeriX, Patty S, big thanks. We will distribute that back to the fam so you can use it with your favorite content creators. Let me see if I can do a custom field here. Do this, see if it'll work. Looks like it might have worked. All right, so I will distribute the lemons to the fam on DLive. It looks like it'll be hitting in about 25 seconds. Let me double check the fam over here on Foxhole, see how everybody's doing. For whatever reason, my comments are not loading over there, so let me jump over to Pilled. All right, so we got, this makes me ill, this is not what God wants for us. You're right, it's not. That's why it's, you know, it's beholden upon us, you know, just like with God. It's, you know, I truly believe, I've never read anywhere in the Bible where it says trust in God and do nothing. God always uses humans as tools for his desires and wishes for us. So I think it's very, very important that we all take peaceful action to ensure this doesn't happen, to ensure this stops. How do we do that? Again, we start at a city level, a county level, a state level, all right? We simply just organize friends, family, neighbors, churchgoers, whatever. You just speak out against this crap. You see what happens when 7 or 10 of these Antifa types go and they, you know, get in front of some city council member's, you know, office and picket and make some noise. They end up swaying that person to do something that's not good for the people simply because they want those 7 or 10 people to go away. There is way more of us than them. All right. I would say 80% of the country is with me in this, all right? But there's so many people that are just sitting on their hands waiting for things to happen, and I truly do not believe it will happen for us unless we make it happen for ourselves, all right? Gee, Robert, this isn't a happy St. Patrick's Day anymore. LOL. Very interesting, though. It is a great refresher. Important. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I wish it was more, you know, that that stuff that so many people like, you know, just that fluffy, you know, inconsequential stuff. Like, hey, look, here's how they're screwing us. Let's cover the news. Well, that really sucks. Hopefully we'll get them next time. No, no, no. That's not how I run my businesses. That's not how I run my life. You find a problem, you fix it, and you profit from it. It's really that simple. How do we profit from this? We get our republic back. We get our freedom back. We get our freedom of speech back, Second Amendment back. We get our universities back. We get, you know, Hollywood back. We can get it all back. But again, it's going to require many of us to actually say, okay, wait a minute. I'm thinking for myself, none of this makes sense. This is an upside down clown world. I don't agree with you. We're going to peacefully protest. All right. So as always, we have the outgoing video. We will play that for you. Again, this is just one more reason or one more way we can take it back, so to speak. All right. So as always, love you. God bless you. And we will catch you possibly on Friday, if not Sunday. All right. So I'll keep you posted. Just feel free to check in on me on Gab, and I will keep everybody posted what our schedule will be on Gab. All right. Talk to you all soon.
Catch you on the next one. Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. God bless you. Love you. And I'll catch you on the next one.